Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture. With your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection. Many of the masters, such as Paul Bogan, Gustav Klimt, Edvard Munch, and Canada's Emily Carr, expressed a spirituality or mysticism in their works. An upcoming exhibit at the Art Gallery of Ontario will explore this topic, which Imago director John Franklin had a hand in developing. John is on the phone with us from his Toronto home office to talk about mystical landscapes, masterpieces from Monet to Van Gogh. But before we begin our conversation with John, let's listen to Promise of the Father from Light Falls' CD, Lost in Who You Are. And now to our interview with John Franklin. Good evening, John.
Good evening.
Now, many of our listeners know you as the executive director of Imago, but you've also got a background in philosophy. Did that play a part in becoming involved in the Mystical Exhibits landscape? The Mystical Landscapes exhibit?
Well, not really. What happened there was I also teach in the area of theology. And some years ago, we struck a committee. I was in touch with the director of the Toronto School of Theology. And we struck a committee on art and theology at the Toronto School of Theology at University of Toronto. And the curator of this exhibit a few years back heard about this committee and had recognized that the art historians were very clear about the art history that they were gathering for this exhibition, but didn't know as much about the theological component. So they called upon a number of us from Toronto School of Theology to become consultants for the development of the exhibition.
Well, and you're saying in the release that announcing it that you've been involved in it for the last 4 years?
Yes.
So what have you been doing in those 4 years?
Well, we would meet with the curators. There was perhaps a total of 15 of us, six or seven of us with theological background, others with background in science, psychology, history, and so on. And we would talk about the exhibit. We would look at works that were being considered for the exhibit. And we would participate in the conversation about these works and what we saw in terms of theological or religious component, spiritual component. And then in some cases even say, yes, we think this should be in, or no, we don't think this one fits.
Okay. Now, in doing that, what have been some of the challenges that have arisen as you've been trying to figure all this out?
Well, you do need some knowledge of the background of the artist, and you know, when you're looking at a landscape painting, and I should just say for your listeners that these are landscape paintings that were done between about 1890 through to about 1935. All right, so it's a particular period, and in this period there was a lot of disenchantment with, well, the way in which society was going, very materialistic and very industrial, and these people were looking to have a recovery of the spiritual. So our job was to try and discern the spiritual sensibility in the work, and that's a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
As we look at the work. But it means you have to know something about the artist, and you have to know something about their background. For example, I mean, if you know the work of Vincent van Gogh,
mm-hmm.
not everybody knows that he was a student of Scripture, had gone to a Bible college, and was a missionary to minors. Not everyone knows that.
Mm-hmm.
But he was, and it profoundly influenced his work, actually, throughout his life. So we were trying to understand what, for example, an artist like Gauguin, who has Catholic background, and an artist like Van Gogh, who has Protestant background, what are some of the differences here? Well, that's very nuanced, and so there's a real challenge to try to do some discerning around that.
Well, as you're looking at the challenges, I'm sure there were times where things were sort of really coming together and it was very easy to do that. Like, what were some of the highlights that you know, stand out in your mind as you were going through this process?
Well, a highlight for me was just the great pleasure of looking at these works of art and dwelling on them, reflecting on them, and then having them in surprising ways speak to you. I think, you know, when you look at art, there's a kind of engagement that takes place that is, you give yourself in some way to the art. You open yourself up, and then the art speaks to you out of its context and so on. So, I mean, that's, to me, that was a great highlight, to see the art in fresh ways.
Mm-hmm.
And to deepen my appreciation for it and my understanding of it. That's, for me, that was very, very exciting. I enjoyed it immensely.
Now, when you talk about seeing the art, did they actually have the pieces there as you were looking at them?
Oh, the actual pieces weren't there. It was all digital. And of course, they were in the process of trying to decide what to bring. And I maybe should say that this exhibition has over 100 works of art. It's a major, very large exhibition.
It sounds like there was a...
We were looking at them digitally. Very good digital images, but mm-hmm. it's never the same as the original.
It sounds like it must have been a tremendous amount of work to winnow down even just to those 100 images.
It was a tremendous amount of work. And these curators, there are three curators. They have a great deal of expertise, and they know this period well. They know the artwork well, and they were able to find pieces that were, well, just extraordinary.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful pieces.
Well, let's take a quick break, and then we'll be right back with our guest, John Franklin. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM.
Before you found me, glory found a home. The Word of God, with the power to behold, an open invitation signed in Jesus' name. The heart of God breaking for our broken way. I was lost before you found me. Never known until you knew me. Your grace is what sustains me.
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Lost in Who You Are, the title track from Lightfall's Lost in Who You Are CD. I'm your host, Robert White. We're going to continue our conversation with John Franklin. You're talking about the exhibit, Mystical Landscapes, Masterpieces from Monet to Van Gogh. And you're talking about the backgrounds of the artists and that. Give us a little bit of an idea of some of the artists and... you mentioned Gauguin and Van Gogh, but some of the other artists, I mean, even someone like Canada's Emily Carr, and I'm assuming that a lot of that was coming from Native American spirituality, because that was basically a lot of her subject matter.
Well, to a degree, that's true. She was actually quite Christian. I mean, she was raised in a Christian context, but she was influenced over the years by Lauren Harris. And Lauren Harris, who also has a Baptist background and was a part of the Harris family, his uncle, I believe it was, that was the pastor of Walmer Road Baptist in Toronto back in the late 1800s. Mm-hmm. Lauren Harris had picked up on an approach to spirituality called theosophy. And this is a kind of mixture of religion, Christianity, and Eastern thought, and kind of what we would call today kind of New Age thought. It was an amalgam. And Emily Carr was somewhat influenced by Harris for a period, but she grew weary of the theosophy and felt that it was not very satisfying at all, and she returned to Christianity. So she actually has a fair amount of, what shall I say, Christian sensibility mm-hmm. in her thinking about art and about the world and about nature.
Well, what are some of the other ones? I mean, there are people like Edvard Munch and a number of other artists that you've got in there. I mean, you look at The Scream, which is Munch's most well-known work. How do you pull something about spirituality and mysticism out of a painting like that?
Yeah, well, the Scream won't be part of this show because it's a show on landscapes. But Munch was on the dark side. Mm-hmm. He had a lot of uncertainties. He was raised in a Scandinavian context, and Lutheranism would have been very very strong in his background. But some of his work does have that negative side of anxiety and darkness and depression, which was part of his life as well. Mm-hmm. But the landscapes that he does, they have a little different tone to them than what you would recognize in The Scream.
Mm-hmm. Now, how can you pull? Now, that's another question too. There are some works like The Scream where you could, pretty well pull something like that out. But how can you pull the spirituality and mysticism of an artist out of a landscape?
It's tricky, but one of the things that you find with the landscape. With these artists, in the Romantic period, there was often a way that you would enter, like you'd see a road or something like that, that you would enter into this painting. But this one, you're already in it with the landscapes that we look at, or that are in this show, that you're already in the painting in some sense and experiencing the natural world around you. So to ask that question is really to say, how do we have a sense of the divine when we're out in the in nature? And this is an effort to depict nature, but depict it in such a way that it's suggestive of the spiritual and the transcendent. It's not just like a photograph picture of nature, but it's an expressive picture of nature, and what's being expressed is a sense of the spiritual and the transcendent. Now, you're right that, you know, there isn't a one-to-one correspondence here with mm-hmm. with these paintings. You can say this means that, and this tree means this, and so on. It's not like that. It's a more holistic thing, and the imagination has to be at work a bit, and it does become a location for divine encounter.
Mm-hmm. What was the range of spiritual expression that you'd seen? I mean, you mentioned Theosophy with Lauren Harris and Emily Carr.
Buddhism with Monet.
Yeah.
Monet's lilies. There's a kind of Buddhist, you know, the tranquility, the silence mm-hmm. in his work. You have a kind of Catholic piety, if you like, a deep spirituality with the with some of the work that was done in Brittany and Pont-Aven. And so there's that. There's quite a range, wide range. Kandinsky, who was the first person to do abstract work in the 20th century. Again, that's a movement away from representing reality as it is to expressing inner life and hence the spiritual. And he actually wrote a book, Vasily Kandinsky, called Concerning the Spiritual in Art. When I see his work, I think music. It's quite wonderful and colorful.
Mm-hmm.
But not representative. So there's quite a spectrum in terms of the spirituality,
mm-hmm.
and there's even some work that is more political utopian, and in a sense that too is a desire for the transcendent, but it's not directly religious, although it has a kind of religious sensibility to it.
Mm-hmm. As you were looking through them, and as you were going through them, were there any certain pieces or certain artists that kind of impacted you more so than others?
Well, yeah, I have enjoyed Kandinsky a great deal. I have fresh appreciation for Van Gogh and some of what he does. But there were also some works by Whistler, which are very dark. And I have grown to appreciate that because I actually did a piece for the catalog on dark nights. This is one component of spirituality that, mm-hmm. Well, Protestants don't speak as much about as Catholics, but there still are some Protestants who take seriously this dark night of the soul,
mm-hmm.
which was a theme suggested by St. John of the Cross. And I was deeply struck by some of the work that I had to deal with that were very, very silent and very dark. So Whistler would have been one.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think we think of Whistler as landscape more so. We think of, you know, Whistler.
Or some of his works are landscape, like of London.
Mm-hmm.
There's one called Nocturne, Gray and Silver. He actually, there's allusion there when it says Nocturne, I think, to the music of Chopin, who wrote Nocturnes. Right. So there's this interplay between the arts to some degree,
mm-hmm.
and some of the work that that comes into this show.
The more we talk about this, the more I kind of think about the fact that one of the discussion points amongst Christians about art and what should be done with art is that whole aspect of a lot. There are some people that feel Christian art must be representative art. It must be, you know, scenes from the Bible or, you know, points from Jesus' life or a demonstration of Christians at work. Where there are other artists that are saying, no, we should just be able to allow our Christian perspective to flow through our art and to come through art. And it sounds like as we're talking about this, that's what's happened with a lot of these people, is their spiritual perspective comes through in their art. It's not the main reason for doing the art.
That may be true, but in some cases it actually is the main reason. I think, okay. Kandinsky is a case in point. I mean, he was very much after the spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
And in some ways, even Van Gogh, not maybe with all of his work, but the most famous Starry Night is a sense of the dynamic of the divine in the created order.
I was thinking,
right, not all of them are driven by the spiritual. That's true.
Right.
But I think for Christians, representation is not the last word. A good question to ask when you see a work of art is, what's going on here? mm-hmm. then what does this represent, or what's that supposed to be? But what's going on here? And in abstract work, you can get to the emotional side of things. There has been, I think, a lot of influence, if I may just say, Robert, of the work of Hans Ruckmacher in a book he wrote some many years ago, and he influenced Francis Schaeffer. The book was called Modern Art and the Death of a Culture. And that's a declinist view that with modern art, things are getting worse. There's a new book, very interesting book, called Modern Art and the Life of the Culture, The Religious Impulses of Modernism. And this is written by two very well-known folks. One is Jonathan Anderson, who's at Biola in Los Angeles, and the other is William Dyrness, D-Y-R-N-E-S-S, who is at Fuller Seminary and teaches in the area of art. Mm-hmm. And this gives a much more positive rendering of how modern art can speak to us and be a location for expanding our understanding and actually encountering the divine.
Mm-hmm. And I was just talking earlier today to Chris Cuthill, for another program, and one of the things he says too is good art tends to raise more questions than give answers.
That's quite right.
And I'm assuming that a lot of the paintings, a lot of the landscapes in this exhibit will be doing exactly that. They're going to be raising more questions than providing answers.
Yeah. I mean, if you get it the first time you see it, it's probably not a good work of art. But a good work of art, you should be able to go back to again and again and again and again and be nurtured by it. Take, for example, Bach's cantatas.
Mm-hmm.
You don't say, oh, I've heard it, I'm done with it.
Yeah. Well, even something like Van Gogh's Starry Night, I mean, you look at it once, you get an idea, but then you look at it again and you start to see more and the intricacy of what Van Gogh was expressing in that painting.
Right.
Well, let's take one final break, and then we're going to finish our conversation with John Franklin. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM.
Your love has captured me. Beauty and death has set me free. A power that knows no end. Oh, who am I that you call me friend? We will
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to We Will Run from the Lightfall CD, Lost in Who You Are. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to wrap up our conversation with John Franklin. John, as you look at it and you think about the exhibit, what do you expect the reaction will be by people as they go and look at these paintings?
Well, it'll be varied, but I can tell you now that it's one of the most, popular exhibits that they've had for a very long time. The demand on these to see this show is going to be tremendous. I think people are going to flock to this because they are really interested in the spiritual in life. And we have tended in modern art to read the spiritual out. In fact, art historians have said very little about the religious sensibilities behind some of these famous artists whose names we know. But what's happening now is that people are much more open to, and we're now hearing more about the religious sensibilities and, in fact, the religious motivations and influences on modern art.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's a great breakthrough.
Right.
Well, I think people are going to be very, very receptive to the show. Imago has a private viewing, which at this point is pretty much sold out, as we say. It's free, but we're going to have probably over 300 people attend a private viewing of this show through Imago.
Mm-hmm. Well, can you give us details on the exhibit? It's at the Art Gallery of Ontario, the AGO. When is it taking place?
Which is on Dundas West, a little west of University Avenue, and it runs from October 22nd, 2016, and until January 29th, 2017. And I might add that when it's finished at the Art Gallery of Ontario, it goes to the Musée d'Orsay in Paris.
And where can people get more information about this?
I think the best place would be the Art Gallery of Ontario website, and you just, type in Mystical Landscapes, and there should be plenty of information there.
Great. John, thanks very much for your time tonight.
A pleasure. Thank you, Robert.
Thank you for listening to Arts Connection today, and thank you to my guest, John Franklin. And if you miss a program or want to hear it again, look for archive programs on our website at artsconnection.ca. And be sure to tune in next week for another look where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@artsconnection.ca. Follow us on Twitter @SayLaw13. Look for the Arts Connection page on Facebook or check out the Arts Connection blog at blog.artsconnection.ca. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.